Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
I want to just go ahead and kind of just spend a few minutes here this morning, just sharing some thoughts that I have. And I have to be honest, this morning was one of those mornings where I was just like, okay, I know, Jesus, that you have a lot that you want to share with us, and we could go a lot of different directions. I have some clear thoughts from this week that I'd like to think about, but honestly, Jesus, what I'd rather do right now is just focus my personal attention on who you are. So I absolutely love the worship and where we went, that it was very Jesus-centric, and it was very much about just our hearts connecting with him, because I just honestly was like, I'd rather just think about your compassion. I just want to think about you, Jesus. I just want to think about who you are and how you are and what you do, and I just want to meditate on you. And that's how I woke up this morning. And so my morning took a little bit of a turn in that regard, because I felt permission from the Lord to be like, well, then go there. Come on, let's do that. And so this is a bit of an overflow then. I just want to continue in that vein. I just feel like we do not need to depart from this. There's a worshipful, praise-filled atmosphere here that I want to stay in. I want to think about Jesus. I want to think about his relational generosity. I want to think about the kind of love that is willing to suffer. I want to think about Jesus being emotionally available and being present with you and I. I want to think about the kind of risk that he's willing to take, you know, the personal loss and the harm for the benefit of another. I mean, talk about compassion, right? I mean, love that requires something of you, that's compassion. And so my heart was just drawn towards the Psalms. I was just thinking about all the ways that songs have been written over the years that have been recorded for us in the Scriptures, and we get to read those, and we read them as Psalms, but we remember that they were sung, that they are songs. And so many of what we've just, like the songs that we just sang this morning, many of those would have been classified as songs. And they are recorded, and we do get to remember them. And they orient us towards the goodness of God and towards His truth. And so, like Psalm 116:5, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. And Psalm 145:9, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. I was thinking about this. I was doing a bit of reminiscing this morning, too, because I was thinking about the people that I've studied in the Old Testament. And there have been seasons in my life where I've focused on particular people that God would highlight for me in the Scripture. And I would jump into like what their life must have been like. And I would say of all the people in the Old Testament, I've probably related to David more than most. I do relate to some of the others. I really love certain aspects of like people like Moses, for example. It says, God, show me your glory. And he was the man who you know, had communication like a friend to a friend, face-to-face conversational relationship with God. I love that. But it seems to me like David, for me, it was like, you know, first of all, you know, he's a man after God's heart. And so a man who was trained for leadership while tending sheep on the backside of some mountain somewhere, worshiping to the audience of one. You know, I could relate to that. I could relate to just the simplicity of his life and how even his own family would overlook him. And yet God would see him. And I could relate to a man who personally experienced the presence of God. I love that. And he also experienced tremendous personal failure and relational betrayal and serious family dysfunction. And ultimately, the redeeming grace of God to forgive. I mean, this is the life of David. So in my mind, you know, David, he's a warrior king, and he worshipped with abandon and all of these things. And it comes from this place of having tasted and seen that the Lord is good, right? So he was a man that was not only after God's heart, he was a man who, I think, emulated God's heart in a lot of ways. And so I was speaking a lot about David this morning, related to the compassion of God and the goodness of God. And I've often said that we become what we behold. I don't know if you've heard that. I didn't make that up, but I've said it plenty of times that I kind of feel like I did make it up. It's one of those quotes, you know. But it's true. I think it's true that we become what we behold. And in David's case, his one desire was captured in Psalm 27:4 when he said, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple." So there's this beholding, this gaze. And in his gaze, I think David became a compassionate man. So part of my reminiscing was thinking back about 23 years ago. And some of you who were sitting in this room were there the first time I ever preached in this place. And it's when we had the pews all oriented that way, and I stood up there, and I remember kind of stumbling through some thoughts, and much like I do today. I was coming on staff here 23 years ago, specifically to be the director of Highland Youth Ministry, which was a youth program that was a community-wide youth program. And the church had brought me on, and the church had asked me to oversee that work, and they had also asked me to speak that Sunday. And I felt like, because it was my first sermon, I call it my pretty boy sermon, you know, it's when you want to be like on your top game and you want to be, you know, whatever. Man, if I could hear that recording, I'd probably laugh myself silly, because, you know, I was trying too hard at one level. But on another level, I think I had grabbed a hold of something. And as the director of Highland Youth Ministry, what I grabbed a hold of became kind of the seedbed. I want to just see a show of hands. How many of you in this room have ever been a part of Highland Youth Ministry? Some of you were a part of it as kids, like middle school, on up through now you have kids in. What, high school now? How does that work? Some of you volunteered with me for years. And I remember the cabin next door, for those of you who could kind of imagine it, if you didn't see it ever before, right over here where those picnic tables are around that fire pit. It's ironic that there's a fire pit there because the youth house actually burnt down. And it didn't burn to the ground, but it burnt enough that we had to take it to the ground and haul it out of here. And that was a sad day. Because my story with Highland Youth Ministry goes back even further than 23 years ago. In 1981, I was a kid in high school here in this town. And Mike Corman and a couple of others, we went over there to that cabin and we started knocking down walls and creating what became the youth house. And it was a wonderful season coming back then, 23 years ago, to direct that program. You can imagine, there's kind of a history there. So it was all founded on the idea that the compassion of God orients itself towards the marginalized and the mainstream, towards the underachiever and the overachievers. And the youth house became a place where compassion reigned. It flowed in that place. I can remember so many times just having amazing conversations with kids and experiencing the compassion of God for their lives. and just letting Jesus begin to speak to them and minister to them. There was this amazing reputation that we had. Yeah, we had the cops called on us a few times, but the reputation around town was that we were a place where we worshiped a lot and we prayed a lot. And prophetic worship and prophetic prayer. And we let the Lord, like, just move in that place. So anyway, I'm not just being reminiscent because I'm thinking of days gone by. I'm being reminiscent because I believe that the seedbed that was established is still there. I can't get over it. I think God is up to something. Last week, Chris Menard was going to meet with the middle school and high school kids over at the yogurt place from like 6 to 7. That got postponed to tonight. And the reason why it got postponed was because Chris Menard woke up last week on Sunday morning and he went out to get in his car to come up to church and his car had been stolen. And so he didn't have any wheels and he lives in the Springs and he couldn't get up here. And on top of that, his father was in the emergency room. So that being said, I'm like, tonight is the night where all of you are going to meet over at the yoga place now. And if I need to drive down and pick Chris up, I will. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want him up here because I just have this thing in my heart that that it was more than a church youth group. It was a community-wide invitation. And there were several churches from around the area that brought their kids to the youth group, and there were a lot of unchurched kids that came to the youth group, which made the parents of the highly churched kids kind of nervous because those kids that came that were not churched were very marginalized, and they were like the skater punk kids, and they were these guys, right, and gals. But at the heart of it all was compassion. And I remember I stood up on my first sermon, and I talked about how King David honored the intended blessings of his dear friend, Jonathan. Maybe this will jog some of your memories. I remember talking about the intended blessings of God for his dear friend, Jonathan. If you remember Jonathan and David, they were closer than brothers. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had lost his life. And so David wanted to honor the intended blessings of his dear friend Jonathan. And so I'd like to read a bit of that story and then turn us back towards who Jesus is for us all today, okay? So let me preface the story by first reading from the law given to Moses in Leviticus 21. You don't have to turn there, but you can. Leviticus 21:17, say to Aaron, this is kind of setting the context of what was established amongst the people of God. This is for the generations to come. He's saying this, say this to Aaron, for the generations to come of your descendants who has a defect, none of them may come near to offer the food of his God. No man who has any defect may come near. No man who is blind or lame or disfigured or disformed, no man who has crippled feet or hands, no hunchback or dwarf, no one who has an eye defect, and it even goes so far as to say, no one who has festering or running sores or damaged testicles. Seriously? Like, no defects. You're not allowed to come to present anything to the Lord. Now, let me lean into the story of how David reflects God's compassion and what was connecting with me then and now, these 23 years later, starting with an intro into Jonathan's son. Jonathan's son is first mentioned in 2 Samuel 4, and I want to just point us to this. Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. Now we know the law that was set down by Moses, by God, actually, through Moses to Aaron in Leviticus. He's saying, no one lame can come. And yet, here we have Jonathan bearing a son, and his son is lame in both feet. He was 5 years old. Jonathan's son was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled, but as she hurried to leave, she fell, and he was disabled. His name was Mephibosheth. Little five-year-old Mephibosheth was snatched up by his nurse at the news that his father had just been killed. She was fleeing, and in her haste, she fell, and little Mephibosheth was lame in both feet. So this is all backdrop to the story that brings us into 2 Samuel 9. 2 Samuel 9, verse 1, and I'll blaze through this in a way that captures the heart of it, because David asks, is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? He wants to honor the intended blessing of his dear friend Jonathan. Is there anyone from the house of Saul whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of Saul's household, Ziba, and they were summoned to appear before David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, yes, at your service. And the king said in verse 3, is there anyone still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? So that I can show God's kindness. I want to reflect the kindness of God to any descendant of Saul's household. There is a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. Ziba answered, and so the king had him brought to him. In verse 6, when Mephibosheth came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, Mephibosheth, at your service, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all of the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul. And you will always, always eat at my table. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that I should be, that you should notice a dead dog like me? The king then summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family, you and your sons and your servants. There were 15 sons and 25 servants, are to farm the land for him and to bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. And Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever the Lord has commanded your servant to do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. How is this not the heart of Jesus? I mean, seriously. This is so great. He says, I will take the lame among you and give you a place of honor because of the intended blessings that were always meant to flow through your family lineage. I want you to get this. We often experience in this life the curses and the sins that are passed down to the third and fourth generations, right? I mean, this is our wrestling match. It's like we find ourselves like this little helpless Mephibosheth at 5 years old who is lame because of the effects of strife, the effects of pride, the effects of sin, the effects of brokenness, the effects of family dysfunction. All of these things distort our self-image. These wounds that come that we suffer. And from our youngest, most formative years, we would say to ourselves, I'm just a dead dog because of these things that are prevalent in my life. And Jesus would look past all of that. And with the desire to honor the intended blessings that were meant to flow through your family lineage, he would invite you to come and sit at his table. It's amazing to me. I mean, can you hear Jesus, the King of Glory, the direct descendant of King David, say, is there anyone left in the house of? Put your grandfather's name there. Is there anyone left in the house of so-and-so that I may show kindness to? And as scandalous as it was for a layman to enter into the presence of the king, I mean, it was actually punishable by death. So too is the scandalous compassion of King Jesus. You might remember reading this at one point. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. And it's not only the physically disabled. Jesus has compassion for the spiritually wounded. I mean, you've read this, I'm sure. With shrieks, impure spirits came out of many. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. The generosity of God's compassion is for everyone. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, and even the morally broken. I mean, we can recall the Samaritan woman at the well. We can remember the woman caught in adultery. We can remember that Jesus was criticized by the religious of his day, and he was called a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of sinners, because he hung out with tax collectors and prostitutes and those who were in the margins, right? So, the list goes on. Now let's listen to Jesus' instructions to the religious in Luke 14, 12 through 14. This is really important for us. Luke 14, 12 through 14. Then Jesus said, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back so that you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." In the end, compassion rules the day. And that's really at the heart of what I was getting this morning. I was upstairs just experiencing just the goodness of God in this way, where it's like, as a people, we personally are invited to experience the compassion of the Lord, and for the Lord to release to us and redeem all of the intended blessings that were meant to be passed down through the lineage of your family. The fact that David gave Mephibosheth all of the land that his grandfather Saul had owned, that speaks to it there. And I'm just thinking about, wow, what would Mephibosheth's life have been had David not connected with the compassionate heart of God and desired to bring the Lord's compassion in honor of Jonathan, in honor of his family. And I just see Jesus saying that to you and I. There have been things in your life, you can look back. There's things that you can't even like point to. You don't even know the fullness of what was stolen from your family lineage. There's no way that we can know all of that. But what we can do is know that Jesus has come to redeem that lineage. And where we have seen the sins and the brokenness and the curses passed down from generation after generation, it can end with you, and you can say, "No, I renounce that, and I receive the blessings that Jesus are offering, the intended blessings that have been intended from all the generations down to my generation, to my next generation, and to that generation after them." Do you see the shift here? Do you see the redemptive work of God's compassion that meets us where, like, it really matters? So, I want to go there with you for a minute. I actually want to have a time where we pray in that sort of vein. I just want us to experience, like for ourselves personally, just that moment in time. Maybe you've done this before, And yet we can revisit this because the thief is relentless. And sometimes we forget the finished work that Jesus has offered to us. And we want to actually renounce any curse. And there might be some specific patterns that you've seen in your family or that you've seen revisited. And we can name that and we can renounce that. I'm going to pray through that with us. Can we do that? And then what I'm going to ask the Lord to do then is to release to us all of the intended blessings that were meant to come down through your family lineage to you, and to your children and to their children and so forth. Can we do that? Good. This is the work of the kingdom. The work of the kingdom is the restoration of all things. And what was taken and stolen from your family can be restored in Jesus. I want to pray through that. I want us to go there. Okay, so that's the first thing I want to do. And then the second thing that I want to do is I want to pray for the students and I want to pray for Highland Youth Ministry. And then I'll kind of segue into that here in just a moment. So the first thing that we want to do here is we want to renounce the curses that have revisited your family life. All right. So let me go into that with you. I'm going to preface with a prayer. Jesus, we consecrate this time. We consecrate ourselves and this community movement really into your blessings. And so I want to ask you right now, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you bring the light and the love of Jesus to envelop us right now and displace any forms of darkness? In you there are no shadows and no hidden forms of darkness. And so thank you, God, that your light is here. And essentially what I'm praying then is for any foul spirit to leave. You're banished now in the name of Jesus. And for everything that is not of God to submit to the will of Jesus right now in this place, in our own lives, in our families, in our hearts, in our thoughts. I pray that the light of Christ would come now and illuminate, show us, reveal to us. And I pray that you would bathe us with your compassion. So in this, Lord, I just want to ask you, Holy Spirit, would you bring to mind anything that we want to renounce, like anything that has been passed down through the generations that was not intended by you, like this is the effects of sin and brokenness that has impacted our families. So we'll just pause. And as that comes, I just want to encourage you in the quiet place of your heart, and you can whisper it out with your mouth. You can say the words. It might help to bring this into the atmosphere around your thinking. With words that you can hear, and you can say, I renounce, and then just say what that is in the strong name of Jesus. And it might be many things that the Lord brings to mind. And by renouncing it, you're saying, I no longer give it right to have power in my family, in my life. I no longer come into agreement with false beliefs or lies that are attached to that. And I renounce any demonization that has come through those false beliefs and through those curses in Jesus' name. Now, Jesus, we apply the blood that was shed on the cross. We apply the blood of Christ now to stand as a wall of separation between us, our families, and any foul thing that has been passed down through the lineage. And we render it cut off and null and void now in Jesus' name. It has been disempowered now by the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus, is there anything else you want to say about that? Just making it personal now for you. Now, Jesus, in every way that your blood was shed to redeem the curse that had befallen mankind, in every single way now you have been bringing the blessings that were intended through our families. And so we want to ask now for every intended blessing. I just pray a release of every intended blessing that God had in mind when he created not only you, but your forefathers, your family lineage, all the way back, every intended blessing that had been stolen and robbed from you and your family, I just want to pray that it would be restored now in Jesus' strong and mighty name, and that every intended blessing would flow into your family now, into your life now, into your children, into their children, through the generations to come. I just want to bless your generations to experience all the goodness of God, the compassion of Jesus. And I just want to pray, God, that just as David was an example for us, Lord, you would invite us, even if we experience like a sense of lameness or a sense of poor self-image, whatever it is that has come and attached itself to our sense of being, Lord, we just want to come to your table. We just want to come to the full bounty of your blessings. Every intended blessing, I release it now in the strong name of Jesus to you and to your family. Thank you, Lord. This is a flow, like a river that flows. And just like David was inspired not to forget the generations, I just thank you, God, that you do not forget. You do not forget every intended blessing. And you release it now by the strong name of Jesus. And we receive it. We thank you, God, for it. We just have to put our stake in the ground that this is God's way. He's restoring. He's restoring you. He's restoring your family. He's restoring every intended blessing now in Jesus' name.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.